Well, good morning. Great to see all of you here. Good to be a part of the experience as we begin our worship service together. We're really glad you made it. And I guess the clocks didn't hurt anybody. Looks like we got a pretty good house here. We're glad about that as well. So I want to welcome you here to our church, Grace Point Church, and we're very glad you're here. I want to give you an opportunity to say hello to some folks, maybe the person next to you, if you've got some family or friends across the aisle. But make sure everyone gets a chance to say hello and gets a hello from you. So stand up with me right now and go ahead and greet one another. I want to bring your attention to one of the things this morning I want you to be aware of inside of your bulletin. I hope you received a bulletin on the way in. If not, it might be good to go back and get one. But in your bulletin, you should find this Connect card. If you have it, it's in there. Go ahead and take it out for me if you will. It's a way we know if you have some things we need to pray about. On the front, there's a place for your name and some contact information. And on the back, you'll see a place where you can write a prayer request. You can check some boxes if those things, those items apply to you. And after the service is over, you can put these in one of the boxes. We have boxes at the back at each door for anything you want to give us, whether it's your offering or this or other things you want to put in there. So just be aware of that. I'll call your attention to that a little bit later on as well. All right? So I want to read some verses for you as we do every week as we start our worship time. These verses come from the book of Joshua in the Old Testament. It is verse 14. Joshua said this, "But if you are unwilling to obey the Lord, then decide today whom you will obey. Will it be the gods of your ancestors beyond the Euphrates River, or the gods of the Amorites here in this land? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." Everybody has a chance who they're going to serve, who they're going to live for, who they're going to worship. All of us have that choice. And I love the way Joshua put it here. He didn't say, we feel like we will do this. He didn't say, I just think we might do this. He said, we will serve the Lord. Serving God is not a matter of emotion. It's not a matter of circumstance. It's a matter of us saying, my heart, my mind, God, I will serve you. Part of the way we serve God is being here this morning to worship him. And I hope now, through our service, at the end of our service, through your whole week next week, you'll say the same thing that Joshua said. I will serve the Lord. Pray with me, please. Father, thank you for letting us come together this morning. We look forward to this time of worship. We are here for you. We are here to worship you. We are here to give you thanks and praise for the goodness you've given us. We are here to say, God, we love you. So accept what we do, the Bible verses that we read and study, the songs that we sing, the fellowship that we have. It's all done as part of our worship of you. We love you and thank you for your love and your grace for us. Bless us as we do this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
15 boxes that are going to go, we don't know where. But these kids got a hold of them. Kids got a hold of boxes full of all kinds of great stuff that they probably have never even seen before. And from those kids, the kids, a church started. Not from a pastor, not from a trained theologian, not from a missionary. From the kids, a church got started. Matter of fact, more people are coming than they can hold now. And did you hear that one child? He wants to be a pastor. Bless his heart. Folks, I hope that you'll bring your shoeboxes back next week if you haven't brought them back. Libby and I have ours at home with the stuff to fill up, but we're bringing it back next week, so you're not the only ones. If you haven't brought them back, bring them back next week. And during our worship time, we're going to get as many who want to come and put their hands on these boxes, around this box, these boxes, and we're going to pray for them and the kids that are going to get them. Good enough? That's some good stuff right there. Very good stuff. I started a series last week called Securing Success for Growing Grace. If you'll remember, Growing Grace is the renovation and church growth initiative program that we've started some time ago now. And I did 5 messages about growing grace. And then I thought, well, if we just do that and drop it, it may not have a big impact. So then I started a 3-part series that turned into a 4-part series talking about, we're excited about growing grace. We're excited about what it's going to do for our church. We're excited about what it's ultimately going to do for the community and winning people to Jesus, getting them baptized and growing in Christ. But how do we make sure that that really happens? How do we secure that success? And I know some folks are going to say, hey, Kevin, we can't secure success. Only God can do that. Well, that's the assumption. We're working under God and His leadership to make sure growing grace has the impact, not just for our church, but for lost people who need to come to Jesus, and for Christians who are out of fellowship to come back into fellowship, and Christians who aren't growing to help them start growing. It's all part of what God has called us to do. So last week I preached a message about securing success for growing grace called Maintain Our Vision. If we lose the vision that God has given us, we may as well just stop now. This morning I want to talk to you about sticking to the basics. One of the ways we can secure success for growing grace is by sticking to the basics. I want to read some verses out of Acts chapter 2, some of the most exciting verses in my eyes in the New Testament. The church had just been started. Jesus was crucified, resurrected. He's back in heaven now. And the church is just getting started. And in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, it says this, follow along. They joined with other believers and devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, sharing in the Lord's Supper and in prayer. A deep sense of awe came over all of them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together constantly and shared everything they had. They sold their possessions and shared the proceeds with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. And each day, every day, the Lord added to their group those who were being saved. Every day. So what does it mean to stick with the basics? The basics are found in the passage I just read for you that gives an account of the status of the behavior of the New Testament church at its nascent stage of existence. So we need to follow their example. They talk about things to do, personal growth. They talk about church growth. They talk about growing in God's grace to reach more people for Jesus. And we're going to look at those things. I want to give you 6 things that we need to commit to secure the success for growing grace. Out of this passage, number 1. If you have your outlines, get ready to write some stuff down. If you don't have your outlines yet, find your bulletin and take them out and follow along as we go. Number 1, we need to commit to grow with our church. We need to commit to grow with our church. In verse 42, the first part of that verse says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. It says they were committed to, underline, spiritual growth. They were committed to spiritual growth. Here it talks about the apostles' teaching. The word for teaching in the Greek is the word didache,
and it means how to. It's not the word that means doctrinal instruction. It doesn't mean learning facts or theology or knowledge. It's the how-to type of learning. It's practical instruction. The reality, folks, is that the Bible is very practical and it's always relevant. But the way it is presented may not always be practical or relevant. Did you ever hear a sermon, you went, 30-minute sermon, 45-minute sermon? You ever been under one of those 60-minute sermons? And you walk out of the church and go, what in the world did he just say? Now, you've never done that to me, right? Because I don't preach 60 minutes. We need to get back to the basics of being committed to spiritual growth. That word, didache, it means how to. How do you do the things that God wants us to do? How do you do it? Years ago, decades ago, do any of you remember a program about learning how to witness to others called Evangelism Explosion? EE? Oh my God. Am I that old? It was a wonderful program. It was a great program teaching you to understand what it meant to be lost, saved, how to find ways to witness to your friends, your family, to strangers, and to share with them the gospel in a way that they could understand. Now, I went through EE, and it was a wonderful program, but one of the things I walked away with it from was a sense of loss because I really didn't know how to take that knowledge and apply it to everyday life. Does that make sense? The Bible isn't just a book to give us knowledge, but a book that helps us leave the study, the sermon, the Bible study, the small group, and apply it to everyday life. Look at verse 47. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This shows a couple of things that they were committed to. First of all, they were committed to numerical growth. They were committed to numerical growth. In the book of Acts, the first church in Jerusalem, the first church of Christian believers, in Acts 1:15, it said there were 120 believers. Acts 2, 3,000 were added to the church in one day. That's 30, it's from 120 to 3120. Then it says in Acts 2 that the Lord added daily, every day, people were being added to the church. In Acts 4, the number of men grew to 5,000. In Acts 5, it said more and more believed and a multitude was added. In Acts 5, again, later in the chapter, it said, you've filled Jerusalem with your teachings. Acts 6, the number of disciples rapidly multiplied. Again in Acts 6, the number of believers increased rapidly. And in Acts 21, verse 20, it says, tens of thousands have become believers. You talk about church growth, it just didn't stop. I want you to know our church, Grace Point Church, will be a church that attempts to grow, not for our sake, but for the sake of the people we're trying to reach for Jesus. Sometimes the argument in churches goes something like this. Do we want quality or quantity? Do we want large numbers of people or just a few really awesomely developed believers? What's the answer? Got that right. Both. It's not one or the other. It's both. Anybody here ever been fishing? Any fishermen here? Three, five, six? Okay. I used to do some fishing. Listen, when you go fishing, do you want quantity or quality? There we go, both. We want both. We want hundreds, we want thousands of people coming to know Christ as their Savior, and we also want to help them to grow. Regarding church growth, I've heard it said, well, we just want a few people at our church. We don't like big churches. And I'm like, okay, so you just like a small fellowship of people. I've not really understood that. They say, well, big churches, they're impersonal. I don't think they are. How do you think they got big? By snubbing each other in church? By never welcoming somebody into the church? Not a bit. If we really want to reach people for Christ, we won't stay small. We won't stay small. We can stay small. Can you imagine the New Testament church saying, hey, folks, I think we've got enough believers now. We have enough Christ followers now. We're okay. We don't need to do anything else. I'm glad that the First Baptist Church of Brooklyn in Baltimore, Maryland, didn't think they were big enough as to stop reaching people for Jesus, because that's the church where I got saved. And who would have known if they had said, enough is enough, I may be just as lost as anyone in the world. We will never say at this church, enough's enough, when it comes to winning people to Jesus. Fair enough. Should have got an amen from that. Now we're talking. We need spiritual growth. We need numerical growth. Remember, the numbers represent people. People. Matter of fact, numbers are so important. There's a book in the Bible, fourth book in the Old Testament of the Bible, called what? Numbers. God counted. You know why we count people? Because people count. They count to God and they should count to us. It takes unselfish Christians to grow a church. It takes unselfish Christians to grow the church. People who are willing to be committed to church growth need to be unselfish, because you're not always going to get your way. You're not always going to feel like your opinion it was just thrown apart or it's the one we go with. It takes unselfish Christians to grow the church. That's the way God grows his people. Sometimes we may do something here a little bit uncomfortable, makes you feel just a tiny bit uncomfortable. I get it. We do some stuff here that makes me feel uncomfortable. It's all right. As long as we're biblical and guided by God's leadership, it's okay. If you don't like everything, it's okay to be a little bit uncomfortable. Have you ever been in a life situation that wasn't new, where you didn't feel just a little bit uncomfortable? Securing success for growing grace means we're going to stick with the basics. And number two, it means we need to commit to be relational in our church. We need to be relational in our church. In verse 42b, the Bible says they devoted themselves to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread. In verse 46b, the last part of that verse, it says they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. The Bible says the New Testament Christians liked meeting together and eating together. Amen? Yeah, they liked meeting together. They liked having fellowship and eating together. Listen, folks, healthy Christians, fill this in. Healthy Christians build small group relationships within the church. Our church is filling up more and more every week. We have more folks coming. Great, we love it. We want you here. If God wants you here, you are welcome. But there's no way you can come to this size church, small as we are. There's no way you can come here every week and get to know people in a personal way. It doesn't happen. So you need to be involved in some form of a small group, because it's there that you get to know each other. It's there you really share your heart. You may have come to this church for a lot of reasons. Maybe the music, the friendliness of the people. Maybe you just like brilliant, good-looking pastors. And John, too. I was just feeling led. Maybe you felt warmly welcomed here in an atmosphere of love and acceptance. You may have come here for a lot of reasons, but those aren't the reasons you will stay here. You need to have relationships with other believers here in this church. If this is where God is leading you, or there's a chance you'll just say, I'm done, and walk away. Healthy Christians build small group relationships, and healthy churches grow larger and smaller at the same time. Our worship time, we get more and more folks here, we grow larger, but then we also need to have our small group time where you know people, as I said, more intimately, more one-on-one. Find out where you can fit in a small group. So, securing success for growing grace. Sticking with the basics means we're going to commit to grow with our church. We're going to commit to being relational in our church. And number three, we're going to commit to pray for our church. Commit to pray for your church. In verse 42, at the end of the verse, it says, they devoted themselves to prayer. Acts chapter 1, verse 14 says, they joined constantly in prayer. Folks, the greatest thing you can do for your Christian growth and for your church is to pray. It's absolutely the most important thing you can do. God blesses the church who prays. One reason you need to pray is you need the practice. Prayer is a two-edged sword. When you pray, two things happen. One is God responds to your prayers and blesses those for whom you pray. And the second thing that happens is it begins to work in your life too. Have you ever noticed when you're praying for somebody else, all of a sudden God gets a hold of your mind and your heart, and he starts speaking to you about the very things you were praying for somebody else about? Has that ever happened? Gee, God's just like that. We need to pray for several things. First of all, we need to pray that we will be reaching the unchurched. If you've been through our 101 membership class, you've heard this before, but the unchurched are made up of two groups of people. The lost, people who've never been saved yet, they're not believers yet, they're not Christians yet, and it also includes not only those who are lost, but those who are inactive Christians. Christians who are saved, they're our brothers and sisters in Christ, but they just got inactive in church somehow. They got inactive with a group of people who worship together. It could have been a variety of reasons why. But we need to pray for the unchurched to become Christians and find ways to reach them. And we need to pray for the inactive Christians who are saved, but in a sense spiritually lost. We will always welcome folks who come here who are Christians, those who come who are not. You will always be welcome here. But our church, our goal is to reach the unchurched, people who aren't saved, the lost, and people who are Christians, but they're out of fellowship with the church. We're not going to go down the road and knock on somebody else's church and say, hey, would you guys like to come to our church? We're not doing that here. It's not going to happen. If God sends us somebody from another church, that's one thing. But we're not going to go looking for them. The lost, the unchurched. Does that make sense? Okay. You're either just telling me, yeah, because you want me to go on, get done. We will pray for our church. We'll also be praying for the growth of new believers, because that's one of our goals as we pray, the growth of new believers. We want believers not just to stay baby Christians. We want them to begin growing in their faith, to become mature, and even to become where they can be a leader under God's leadership, a leader in the church, whatever ministry God calls them to. We're praying for the growth of new believers. We're praying for more involvement of the members who are here. You've heard the 80-20 rule in churches. 20% of the people who come do 80% of the work. I don't like that. I don't like that stat one bit. I think every believer who's here should find some place of service somehow, somewhere, so all of us as Christians at this church can say, no, it's just not a small group. No, we're all involved in different ways. So we need to pray for the church growth, we need to pray for the involvement of members, and we need to pray for the church leaders. And that's just not the pastors, that's others who are leading out in ministries in our church. Securing success for growing grace means we need to grow with the church. It means being committed to being relational in our church. It means to pray for your church. And number four, it means to commit to give to your church. In verse 45 of this passage we read, it says, they were selling their possessions and goods, and they gave to anyone as he had need. And then in chapter 4, verses 32 through 35, it says, there were no needy persons among them. Those who owned land or houses sold them, brought money from the sales, and it was distributed to anyone who had a need. The Bible teaches here in these verses at least three things that committed Christians will do, will give to the church. First of all, in verse 46, it references time. You're a believer, you need to give your time to church. It says they worshiped together every day at the temple, which is equivalent to our church. We think if we just come once a week to one service, we've really done it. Bam, we're there. Every day they met. Now, there's no way they could do that every day, every week, every month for a year. They had jobs, they had families. I get that. But there was a time that they were coming every day. When the need called for it, the church was willing to meet. Not only did they give of their time, the Bible says they gave of their treasure. They were tithing. They were giving 10% of their earnings back to God through the church. They were giving for special ministries, youth mission trips, Operation Christmas Child that we're in the middle of, food to the food bank, Growing Grace for our renovation and church growth program. They were willing to give of their finances. And then last, they were willing to give of their talent. Folks, it takes everyone's talent and skills to run this church, to carry out the ministries of this church. The problem is, some of us think we don't have talents that we can use. Yeah, you do. You have talents that God can use in this church. You just need to let us know what they are. We'll get with you and try and find out what they are. Let's stick with the basics. Again, review. Grow with your church. Be relational in your church. Pray for your church. Give to your church. And number five, commit to worship with your church. Now, folks, I like our worship time here. Even in the smaller church that we have here, we have great worship. But have you noticed people worship differently? Have you noticed that? Some are very quiet. They're just to themselves. Other people are a little more open, a little more active. They might even sing. Others are fully interactive in our worship times. They pray, they sing, they raise their hands, they give an amen. Amen, that's right, preacher, go on, preach. I never heard anybody tell me to keep preaching, but I'm dreaming. I'm hoping. Keep up, go, preacher, no, don't finish. Go on. That's why in some churches, they call them deacons, first couple of rows, they're all down here. And when everybody else is back there falling asleep, they're going, yeah, go on, preacher. Keep going. Y'all are laughing. I hadn't heard it yet. I love how we worship. Three measurements of life-changing worship. First of all, it needs to be regular. It needs to be regular in your life. You need to be here consistently. And if you're just here visiting and you have another home church, that's fine. Be there consistently, regularly. In verse 46, it said, every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. Folks, worship is essential for growth for us who are believers. We need personal worship, devotional quiet time, and we need corporate worship when we all come together and worship. Some people are worship, they're hit and miss. We need to be consistent. Three measurements of life-changing worship. Regular worship. Secondly, Christ-centered worship. The Bible says in verse 47, they were praising God. The point of worship is to give that time in undivided attention to God our Father through Jesus Christ and in the midst of the Holy Spirit. The fellowship and worship is good, but it's only an element of worship. The music is good, but it's only an element of worship. Through what we do in our worship time should bring us individually, collectively, closer to God. God blesses us. He convicts us. He encourages us. And number three, we should have enjoyable worship. Verse 47, and enjoying the favor of all the people. Enjoyable worship. Worship should be enjoyed, not endured. David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. He didn't say I was sad or I was mad. I was bored. He was glad that he had another chance to come to church and worship God. We just need to remember, and I think we try and remind our people, all of us, we come here to worship him. He's the audience. We come here to thank him, to give God our praise. Now, you need to keep in mind that all of us have different preferences for our worship style, and it's our style, my style, your style, isn't inherently better or worse than anyone else's preference. There's not one right way or one wrong way. The person who's clapping and swaying and singing and raising their hands isn't worshiping any more than the person who is just being still and calm and to themselves. There's not one way more than another way. Commit to the basic of your church's worship if we're going to continue to succeed in growing grace. And number six, last one. Commit to invite your unchurched friends to your church. Verse 47. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Daily, every day, people were being saved. Bringing your unchurched friend to church is a big deal. It's important. Why? Because 85% of Americans, adult Americans who trust Christ, are led to him by a friend, not by a preacher, not by a pastor, not by a youth minister, not by a televangelist, but by a friend. Bringing them to church isn't the only way that they can get saved, but it is a way. And your pastors have tried to make our church a very safe place to bring your unchurched friends. After all, that's who we're trying to reach. We don't want to do things in such a way that they push them out and say they're never coming back. No, we won't ever compromise God's word. Never. We'll preach God's full gospel. But we do it in a way where people hear the word and prayerfully, if it's here, want to come back. We need to stick with the basics. It may mean that we need to pray that God will make us feel extremely uncomfortable with and where we are now individually and as a church, to bring that conviction to say, God, okay, this is one thing I need us to work on. I've asked someone who is a member of the Growing Grace Committee to come and share some words with you, share part of her testimony with you. Would you welcome Susan? Come on up. Welcome Susan Blackwood, if you will. That was your husband, wasn't it?
Yes. As many of you know, Steve and Linda, Al and I were church shopping when we located Grace Point. We found the church by Googling a nearby non-denominational church. We weren't riding around looking, but we immediately felt welcome. We've been blessed with meeting new friends. I've reunited with old friends and family. We've also been able to invite friends who were not coming to church. We look forward to being here each week and worshiping with our Grace Point family. It's a good reminder for me each week to give it to God, and brings me great peace throughout the week. I want others to receive the same. I'm honored and excited to be part of the Growing Grace team. Sadly, appearances matter to some. First impressions sometimes matter. We are one of the busiest roads in Charleston County. While there's nothing wrong with our home, it could be more eye-catching and appealing from the street. I'm excited about many of the improvements. Landscaping starts soon. We will be getting new asphalt, sidewalks all around the building, and there will be a bright landscape at the bottom of the sign to draw attention. We will paint the outside of the building to make it pop from the street. An awesome new playground to invite kids and give them a safe place to learn about Jesus on their level. I'm most excited about the covered drop-off points at all three doors and all the way to the worship hall in the back. Everything will be covered. This means our younger toddlers and older slow-moving folks will still be able to worship even when it's inclement. And I'm also excited because I hate to get my hair wet. We are very happy to be here, and I'm looking forward to watching Growing Grace.
Thank you, Susan. I liked everything you said. I just didn't like your shirt. Just kidding. Oh, my. My question for you, and my question for us as a church, my question for myself is this. What basics do you need to get back to? What basics do you need to stick to? What basics do you need to be committed to? So that as God continues to bless and change and convict and mold us into the person he wants us to be, through that process, we can make sure that growing grace, renovation, and growth project for our church will succeed. That makes sense? Good enough. Now, inside your bulletin, I want to bring your attention to a couple of things. First of all, every week we have our Connect card. You can fill in the first part up here for information on the backside. If you have a prayer request, you'd like us to pray for someone, write it out, give us details if you'd like. There's some boxes down here you can check off if that applies to you. Then take these cards on your way out. Again, there are boxes. They're on the wall at every door. Just drop it down in there. The pastors get this information, and we'll pray for you and contact you if we need to do that. Regarding Growing Grace, this is the first Sunday that we've had our pledge card in there. Can you see that? Take that out if you haven't looked for it. Now, again, this is for our members and our regular attenders. If you're our guest here today, I'm not asking you to give anything, not one penny. If God's leading you, then have at it, but I'm not putting this on you. But make sure if one of our church members or regular attenders that you just look at this. This is a growth card or a Growing Grace pledge card that we're asking you to pray over, to sign out, put in there what it is that God's leading you to give, okay? Nobody sees these, no pastors, we don't go through these. The person who deals with our money every week, who gets our offerings and then sends them to somebody who lives up in Greenville to take care of the processing of that. So you can feel sure if you put this in there, it'll be kept just as anonymous as we do for these, okay? You don't have to fill it out this moment. It's just something to get your attention to start praying for it. We're hoping to have all of these in, I think we said last Sunday in November 29th. Does that sound right? I think so. Okay? If you're starting to give to Growing Grace already, make sure it's in this color envelope. If you want to put this in this, double whammy. There you go. We'll get it from you. Okay? All right. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for reminding us that with all that you're involved in, literally all over the world, it just comes back to the basics. And I want to pray, Father, that you will help us to be individually as your children and collectively as your church. That you will make us to be a church who practice the basics in our praying, in our leading people to Jesus, in our fellowship, and in our giving our tithes and our offerings to you, the same thing that the New Testament church did, continue to lead us in doing. We know again, Father, success for this program that we're going about comes from you, but it comes from you through us. And we'll give you the praise and glory for it. And we pray, Lord, that through all that we do, it will be done to win people to Jesus. And that those who are believers but are out of fellowship, to bring them back into fellowship with you. Pray these things together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Folks still praying. I tell you what, folks, as God moves, it's so exciting to see that. A lot going on right now. I mean, we've been talking about everything that's happening. Next week, as you see these OCC, Operation Christmas Child boxes down here, you know all about that. Bring those in next week, ready to go. Also, coming up next Saturday from 4 to 7, we're going to be having the fish fry and silent auction. And I will tell you this, in the silent auction, there's a lake house up on Lake Marion. You can bid for a whole week there. I've also lined this up. You can play 9 holes of golf with Bubba Watson's caddy. And if you don't know who that is, you can come see me, I'll tell you. But that's going to be kind of a fun. That ought to be a big price thing, right? Jason, you play golf? Yeah, so check that out. If you have tickets or money for tickets, you can turn in today. Lori's back there in the back. You can do that as well. Tomorrow, any of the youth interested in going with us, we're going to the fair. If you want to find out more about that, today I promise I will stay down front. Last week I was chasing some guests all the way out in the parking lot saying hi to them. So I'll stay right here if you want to find out about getting fair admission and all tomorrow. Come see us. All right? Oh, was that the last song? Hey, a lot of fun, folks. I hope that you'll take that joy and excitement with you as you go. Invite people to come back, as we said in the message, one of the ways we grow. Let us pray together today. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Thank you for all those who've come out to worship. Lord, I know it'd be great if we had an extra hour of sleep every week. I know that isn't going to happen, so get us up next week ready to come out and worship you. Thank you for growing grace and growing Grace Point. We love you and thank you now in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen.